You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today on the Cooligans, we talk about the Premier League and how they're handling their quarantine. I think this might be quarantine erotica. I'm not sure.
Quarantine hub. We also talk to Matt Turner, the starting goalkeeper for the New England Revolution. Absolutely hilarious dude, Jersey dude. And also we talk about how he's just got a wake of bodies in front of him to get to the top. Nothing stops Matt Turner, not even you. Ladies and gentlemen, that and more on this episode of the Cooligans.
Man, like troops, back again. About my blood clot, yank, all of that. Man came on the Cooligans and shut the thing down. Make sure you watch. If you don't, you're a ham roll blood.
Yeah, baby!
Whoa, look, it sounded nice and high-pitched, that one.
Yeah, that's about as far as I can go up that ladder, boy.
Woo! Ooh, what octave is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
My neighbor dropped the envelope under the door that said, hey, got a baby. Please don't yell.
Okay. Got a baby sounds a little bit...
Do you want one?
Hey, I got a good deal on a baby.
Dude, there's a van outside. There's babies. Dog.
Hello, everyone.
Cute.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros, baby.
All right. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show in the world.
Absolutely. Okay? If you're watching anything on any screen, regardless of whether it's on your wall or in your hand or on someone else's wall or in the airplane seat next to next to you, when you're not watching what's on your own, we're the funniest soccer anything that's on that screen.
Okay, on all those platforms, and we're excited about.
Hold on, we're also the gulliest.
Oh, that's right.
You can't forget that.
Oh, how could I?
Yeah. There you go. Okay, we said it. We're good.
Okay, we sorted out. We're excited about today's show because not only do we have a lot to talk about, we're also going to be joined by goalkeeper of the New England Revolution, Matt Turner.
Yeah, or as I like to call him, the gully keeper. I don't know where that came from. It's out there now.
Wow. Yeah, you like to call him that, and we've learned, and it's also the first time you've ever said that. So
first time I've ever. I didn't even think about it. I gotta be honest with you, as soon as it came to my mouth, my brain was like, what was that?
So we're gonna talk to him about how he's dealing with his quarantine, but we have a lot to discuss as well, because obviously we're still this is Living Room FC, and we're all figuring out and handling this quarantine and this self-isolation in our own way, right? We all try to maintain our sanity, but we have to bring up what's going on with some of these Premier League players because they're
not the only ones, right? Like you've probably wanted to have some friends over, right?
Yeah, man. You know,
human connection.
Okay, a little cheek to cheek. You know?
Well, how are you doing? How am I doing? Here's some money. Where's your clothes? Just a little.
Simple interaction. Okay.
As old as time.
Yeah, let's start with the news about Kyle Walker of Manchester City, who is under investigation by his club for breaking the quarantine and self-isolation rules during the lockdown in England, because he is under investigation for having a sex party at home.
That's right. Him and his buddy, just two dudes hanging out, two straight dudes, right? And they said, hey, why don't we?
We're both straight, right? Well, you cool? You cool? I'm cool. We're both straight, right?
Right? We're both. You know what we should do is we should call two ladies, but it's dangerous time to be out. Well, then who could we call that would be willing to come? Well, what if we offered some money? And that's what they did. The wildest part about all this is prostitution is illegal in the UK, right?
In most of the world, yes.
Yeah, right? It's just like, 50 miles outside of Vegas or something, and then that's it. And then Amsterdam, right? But in UK it is. But apparently, it's like fully aware now. He admitted to calling a prostitute. Yeah. Like, well, some people call them models, but he's like, yeah, so I paid these models to come here and have sex with them. It's like, you're making it illegal.
Just because they have Instagram profiles does not make it okay.
You can't just be like, no, well, he's not a drug dealer. He's my friend, but he did sell me drugs. It's like, well, now you're both arrested. You see what just happened there?
Yeah. And I'm not, you know, we're not trying to shame sex work, right?
No, that's fine.
We have to shame him for breaking the lockdown rules, especially after he goes out and publicly says, hey, everybody, you need to stay home. Yeah. We need to, bend the curve and stop the curve and all this other stuff.
Flatten the curve.
Flatten the curve.
Yeah, don't bend it. We need to bend that ass. We need to bend that curve over. What? No. Kyle, hold on.
You know what? You're clever, Kyle. I'll give you that.
You know what we need to do? We need to make two curves clap. I'm like, no, Kyle. That's not how that works. Stop throwing dollars at the camera. It's a PSA.
So look, we don't want to. We're trying to highlight like the hypocrisy, and obviously we know it's difficult, right? It's difficult to stay home and not see your friends and not see your family. But to process it this way and be like, oh, you know, I've been home for so long.
Well, you know, also, I mean, look, of all things, like. It's such a shame that you can't invite sex workers because there is a level of horniness that has been reached on the internet.
It is dangerous.
I did not think. I mean, I bet you the people that work, you know who's the most stressed? Amazon workers, grocery delivery workers, and the people who handle the servers at Pornhub. Those are the three. And then, of course, healthcare workers. The internet has gone absolutely insane.
Even healthcare workers, healthcare workers are like, we don't want that job. Wow. No, how do you do it? Y'all are heroes.
Just covered in mucus and blood. And just like, damn.
How do they do it?
Woo! A lot of, they're just wiping that stuff off. Like, imagine having to clean yourself off that much. It just, my favorite part about this is the UK is insane. Like, they interviewed the sex worker and she was like, yeah, so my boss texted me and I didn't know who he was, but it was a high profile client. There's too much getting in the newspaper in the UK. It's like interviewing the assassin. He's like, yeah, so I put like three extra bullets in my clip. You know, it's like, no. Y'all snitching on each other.
And then we also have the Jack Grealish of Aston Villa, who his Twitter account is amazing because there's one tweet of him being like, hey, everybody stay home. We need to, you know, flatten the curve, the whole thing. He did the whole thing. It was like
the next one.
Second next video. I'm very dumb. I shouldn't have been out so late. I shouldn't have went out. I just got cooped up at home and I really wanted to see my mates, you know?
Yeah. You know what you should have done? You should have watched your own video, buddy.
Because honestly, I heeded that advice you said, and I stayed home.
Yeah, I love it. It's like those people like, hey, man, it's like the old pictures of like Maradona wearing like the don't do drug shirts.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing.
This is the Jack Grealish version of that. And here's the thing about Jack Grealish. Like he's like a great dude. From even the videos, you can tell from his apology, he seems like a great guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, very
much.
I'm
always saying that because I'm an Arsenal fan, and Arsenal's supposed to buy him. So, again, accept his apology. Seems like a great guy.
Yes, we obviously support him, and just hopefully he can be a bit more of a role model.
Yeah,
but he learned from his mistakes.
Because you know what you do? You get back up once you make a mistake, buddy. You apologize and you move it.
Exactly. You move forward and sign with Everton. And that would be really
No.
I'm excited. Okay.
All
this
right.
is maybe what our second New England Revolution player our first ever player on a podcast originally before it was a TV show.
That's right.
Former New England Revolution player Juan Agudelo.
Juan Agudelo. But we said we're not having any other until he's gone.
I don't know why you did that.
That was the rule.
Naturally so. Probably wasn't great for our game.
Yeah. Well, you can hear his voice and you can probably see his face. Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving, put your hands together for the one, the only, the starting goalkeeper of your New England Revolution, Matt Turner, everybody.
Matt, what's up, dude?
Nice intro. How you guys doing? Thanks for having me on.
What's going on, dude? First question. I know, Christian, we'll get to it in a second.
Okay, yeah.
But, born and raised in Newark, New Jersey, myself, okay?
All right.
So we got a very important question. This is what we ask of everyone from Jersey, and there is a wrong answer, okay? Is it pork roll or is it tail of ham? Yeah. Yay, my guy.
obviously.
We got the editor right now. It's just putting exploding cured meats into the show.
Okay. Most of the budget is the cured meat graphics budget. Yeah. We're spending a lot of money on
it. Well, I got to buy it to taste it first to make sure it's right. But that's right. Well, dude, North Jersey boy. In fact, you want to hear something crazy. So I'm born and raised in Newark, living in Brooklyn now. Mm-hmm. Christian, born and raised in Brooklyn, had to move to Jersey last year, and guess where he moved? Take a guess.
Park Ridge, New Jersey, bro.
No way.
Yeah, dude.
No way.
I'm currently in Park Ridge, man.
That's what's up, man. We got to link up when I'm back.
Yeah, dude.
No doubt, man. Please. So being that I live here now, I'm not super familiar with the area. What is there to do here? Because it seems like there's only 4 stores.
Yeah, that's about right. They just had that new whole like Wegmans complex in Montville there.
Yeah,
kind of nice. You know, there's a Chipotle there. That's what's up.
Okay.
Guys, and welcome to North Jersey, where the exciting thing is we got a Chipotle now.
Yeah. I mean, you got to get, I think the biggest thing about being in Park Ridge in that area is the best part is just all the local delis, local pizza shops, you know, all of them are family owned, family run. And so you get some good pizza there. And I'm a frequent flyer at Davies Pub.
Okay, I've seen that place. I haven't gotten in, but I've seen it.
They got the best buffalo wings I've ever had. Their wing sauce is really, really good. They have also these crunchy wings, they're called. It's like fried chicken, basically. It's really, really good.
Okay.
They pour a good beer.
Dog, so when this quarantine is over, we're doing an episode from Davies Pub, all right?
Yeah.
Because I heard wings.
Live from Davies.
Let's go. Yeah.
Wings and cold beer.
Let's do it. Yeah, we got to figure out like the best slice in town. We got to get you set up, Christian.
Yeah. I'm really unfamiliar. So because of the quarantine I've been able to like walk around a little bit. Again, I don't spend too much time around here. Right. And I walked around and I found Davies Field. There's like I don't know if it's new or not, but there's a soccer pitch not far from me that I would have never known if it wasn't for the quarantine, because it made me actually walk around and see what the town looks like. Yeah. Who's this
Davy guy and how is he getting into every business? Yeah. Welcome to Davy's Car Wash. Have you been to Davy's Postal
Service? Godfather in OTV, I guess. I don't know.
This dude owns Park Ridge.
So Matt, let's at least start with obviously a lot. We've spoken to a couple players, that are goalkeepers, about how they're handled. Their self isolation and figuring out how to maintain fitness. So what are goalkeepers doing to maintain fitness during this quarantine?
Well, first of all, what I'll say is that it's been really great because now everyone sort of understands what it's like to be a goalkeeper because it's just isolation. It's always isolation, no matter what. So next time you want to be hard on a goalkeeper, just remember what it's like to feel like.
It's this moment right here.
It's literally this. No, but for real, they've given us workouts and stuff to do. It's a ton of running. Not a big runner. So I do a lot of like jump roping, lifting as much as what I have around in terms of like some dumbbells and just trying to stay active. And I think the biggest thing for me right now is diet. It's been pretty challenging, like mentally, you know, you miss competing, you miss being out on the field. You miss like this big part of your life is just kind of taken away for a while and put on pause and you don't really know when the end is. So that part of it's really tough, but you know, keeping fit, staying like physically healthy is the most important thing right now. And just like I said, eating healthy, staying active every day and not just laying around playing Fortnite.
It's got to be tough because for a goalkeeper, like for people who, I guess, forwards and, you know, the outfield players, you know, running is a big significant thing, but maybe that's not the most important thing you have to do. Your reflexes are more important, but you can't be jumping around your living room. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you, is there a way to keep your hand-eye coordination, or are you really trying to convince them that Fortnite is that?
Honestly, it's part of it, but no, I think like for me always, even in the off seasons, I approach it in a way where you're not really going to lose your reflexes. You're not going to forget how to dive. Yeah. It might take like a week or two to like kind of sharpen up again once you get back. But overall, it's almost good for your body too, to like not be diving around on the ground for a while. So I think like the biggest thing is just getting some touches on the ball with your feet, just having that feeling. And
yeah,
I don't know, like as a goalkeeper, I have in my back alleyway, actually behind my apartment, I have sort of like this conundrum of stairs. And so like to get from one level to like the top level, there's actually maybe like a 20 inch ledge that I can like jump on and off.
Yeah.
So I've been able to like do some sort of.
Yeah. Your back, like, backyard sounds like a MC Escher painting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's cool. Pretty accurate.
Yeah. In this quarantine, you learned how to do parkour. That's really dope.
Yeah. That's what it is. Exactly.
Is it weird to like, I imagine you feel physically refreshed and like, you don't have like either like injuries or your back pains or things like that. Is it weird to feel that way, especially after the season started and after preseason and everything?
Yes, it is definitely pretty weird. It's just weird not having like MLS offseason is so long. Yeah. So you go so many months without soccer and not playing. And I felt like I was really growing into, you know, my role in New England. And then everything just kind of ends when the playoffs, when you get kicked out of the playoffs in Atlanta. And then, you know, I obviously had two stints with the national team. Didn't play any games though. So like now I've gone from October to January to finally in February, I got to play in some friendlies. And then at the end of February, I played in our game against Montreal where I ended up getting injured. So it's like, I miss the feeling and like that camaraderie that comes with like putting your body through like the emotions and physical challenges of games. So it's like going away from that for so long, it feels really weird.
We were talking a little bit about, you know, the chance you got with the men's national team. And you also started soccer kind of late. Like, I think it was 16 years old when you first started taking it seriously. And here you are getting an opportunity with the men's national team, the highest level you could get in your country. So when kids ask you for your advice, do you just be like, whatever, take your time. Don't even try. What the hell do you tell children?
Yeah, I'm probably not like the picture perfect advice giver in that sense. I'm very unique story. So if people ask me for advice about, you know, oh, how do you get to where you got? I just say you need to make sure that what you're doing, you enjoy.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I got into soccer and stayed with soccer in the first place, because I played baseball since I could really walk. And did all the hitting lessons, everything, played till I was 18. But there was something about soccer and something about when I watched the World Cup in 2010, that was the first soccer I ever watched. And I was 16. And there was something about it where I was like, this sport is just, there's nothing like it. And I'm talking, I was an avid sports player. All I ever wanted to do was be outside. I played football, basketball, baseball, hockey, like you name it. I was outside literally playing it or playing it competitively. And so to go through that. So, you know, everyone, like I always say this because I think it's funny. Like everyone was freaking out about the vuvuzelas. And I just thought that like that was totally normal.
Yeah, yeah. That's this is what the World Cup sounds like.
Yeah. I like playing soccer because the sound of bees is my favorite.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was just normal. I don't know what was wrong with that. Like, but then I started reading up and people are like freaking out about this.
You know, vuvuzelas got so popular that YouTube actually added a vuvuzela button to other soccer highlights on YouTube so you could hear it in the background. That's true. During the 2010 World Cup, they were like, if you're watching like an old Ronaldo clip, they're like, just here, click this button. You'll hear the movie.
Well, you know, I'm curious, how did you feel when you were starting to play and starting to take it more seriously and trying out for your high school team, getting into college? Like, because I got into soccer late as far as like playing it. I used to watch it as a kid, like the FIFA games were the thing that got me into the sport. But like I joined like a Sunday league like 6 years ago, right? After not really I'm trying to learn how to play soccer in my 30s. It's very challenging. So like, did you ever feel like, bro, this is too, everybody's too good or this level is too high? Like, how did you push yourself to get to the level that you're at now?
Yeah, I've always had this weird like adaptation ability. When I was 10, I was playing with like 13, 14 year olds playing baseball. So I've always been able to kind of, my baseball coach growing up, anytime there was like a really big jam, he would, even if I had already pitched like the day before, he would put me in it as a pitcher. I think it's always just been like this competitive nature that I've had that has allowed me to just continue to grow. And I mean, I think the biggest thing is just always being open, learning and being open to criticism and trying to, you know, if you make a mistake, you know, taking it on board and not making the same mistake. Although, you know, sometimes you have little overlaps, but that's not anything to get too hung up on. But yeah, there was definitely some times like I couldn't even take my own goal kicks until I was 18. So I always had my center back like come back and take. I didn't know how to kick a ball, and I have huge feet. So I have a size 14 foot. Jeez. So like I had to sort of learn how to like contort my like foot and leg and hip so I could get under the ball. It took some
because you got a couple of Thor's hammers hanging off your ankles.
That's exactly. I mean, oh my goodness, it's like walking around with an extra. People say, how much do you weigh? I'm like 190, but I'm off.
So, you're probably a good swimmer with those fucking flappers on.
See, that's where I think I went wrong. I should have probably approached swimming.
Yeah, they're like, that guy's not even using his hands.
So, yeah, I couldn't take my own goal kicks. But there was something about just being a goalkeeper and being like the challenge of keeping the ball out of the net that like always intrigued me. When I was really little, I played soccer. All I wanted to do was be a goalkeeper, and like my coach never played me. So then I switched.
That's really rare, by the way. Nobody wants to be. I always got put in goal because I was fat.
Isn't that weird?
That's like that's where the fat kid goes.
That's who started.
Nice. Finally, some retribution. That's our men's national team, by the way.
Fat man's national team. Yeah,
dude. Y'all don't get everything. You tall, beautiful, big-footed people. Some of us short fat guys got one role, and that's to stop a ball sometimes when you're a kid. Now, you also, we talked a little bit about how you lived, you grew up in Park Ridge. I grew up in Newark, very different city. You, fortunately or unfortunately, got a chance to play in Newark for a team that I don't think exists anymore, right? The Iron Mound Express?
No, they folded, but I'm pretty sure they're going to make a comeback.
Ooh, what I've heard. Let's go. Quarantine Express.
Inside info.
Yeah, Alexis will be the head coach, I think. Yeah.
Everybody, get a water break and eat one of the burgers, all right? That's kind of how I coach. So you played for Richmond Kickers, you played for Ironbound Express, all these sort of smaller teams. I know Richmond Kickers is a much bigger team than Ironbound Express, but at any point, did you sort of question yourself? Did you question, is this the right move? Or are you that competitor that you saw a future where you were going to become like a full-fledged pro, top flight pro?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I think after my freshman year, I didn't play in college. And then my sophomore year in college, I played for 45 minutes and ended up on ESPN Outside Zone number one play. And then
I haven't seen this play, but
it's out there.
Okay, I'm going to look it up.
What did you score from one end, from the goalkeeper or something?
The ball like hit the crossbar and went straight up in the air, and I like turned back to the goal and tried to like jump and catch it, and it like
damn,
like off the shenanigans. Yeah.
I mean, down Jordan Pickford's was worse.
Yeah. it was similar. It might have been worse, but it was similar.
Okay,
at least it was like in college, you know. But that's when I start like having doubts. You know, I'm like, all right, well, maybe I should just focus on my finance degree here and. You know, be part of the team just for fun. But so the previous summer, so between my freshman and sophomore years, I spent 5 weeks in Brazil playing.
Oh, wow.
And that's where I learned a lot about myself as a player. And I thought I was in a professional environment. It was like a professional academy. And that's the first time I had ever been in that sort of environment. The team was called Desportivo Brazil. I think they're in like the third division, but it was still their academy. And that was like pretty cool. Just opportunity came up through my father, did business down there, knew somebody who knew somebody. And they took a look at like some highlights of mine and they were like, yeah, sure, whatever. Like, we're not going to pay him or anything, obviously. So if you're going to come, you can come. So that was like a cool experience. And that opened up my eyes because these are some players. I mean, you should have seen that the 13-year-olds, the 12-year-olds. I'm like, these guys could legit step onto my college team right now and literally boss it. These kids were amazing, but it's crazy. You know, they not all of them can get the opportunity out of there. Anyways, that's when I was like, okay, I think maybe there could be a future for me in this game. Because I'm playing with guys that have been to bigger clubs, played for some big teams in Brazil. And a lot of teams in Brazil would like send their players to this academy on rehab assignments.
Okay.
So I played for their U23 team for 5 weeks, played against Cruz Azul, their U23s. Like, so got some really good experience. Yeah. And so then showing up sophomore year, like Fairfield had brought in some kid on a full ride from England. He was like, you know, Nike Academy, Leicester City, Barnsley, like all these places, big resume. I'm like, all right, well, this kid's on a full ride. Thought about transferring. But then I'm like, you know what? I'm just enjoying my college life. Like, school is good. My work, my school and life balance is great. I'm enjoying playing soccer every day. So I'm not going to like give all that up just because I'm not playing. I think that's stupid.
Yeah.
So anyways, I sorry to digress, but I feel like that's part of the story. To get to to that summer between my sophomore and junior year, I was like, you know what? I want to try to play soccer through the summer. The only way to do that really as a college kid is play PDL or MPSL. Yeah. And there's tons of PDL teams in like the New Jersey, New York area. So I go to Westchester Flames, try out, cut. I'm like, all right, that's not what it's like. Because Westchester Flames is like the worst team in the league.
Because they can't spot talent. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Actually, hold on. Why don't you continue that story on the other side of this break? We'll be right back with more with Matt Turner after this. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. Just want to bring you with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you, and maybe even Ali Krieger.
Correct. Yes, Gully Squad has been litter than ever.
It was wild litty. In fact, some of us, people came in and said, hey, we heard you were having a party. You're going to get a ticket because of coronavirus. I said, no. It's just Gully Squad. They said, all right, well, then please continue. I'm sorry I interrupted.
Okay. And then I tipped my cap to the officer. Gully Squad has been, again, especially during this quarantine, we've spoken about how it is more than just just getting some extra content. It is becoming a very much a full-fledged community of people sharing ideas, sharing stories of comedy, everything. So and yes, you may have heard recently we did the first Gully Squad happy hour, and that wasn't even us. That was just the Gully Squad members putting that together. Shout out to Peter Garcia, who had the idea initially, and
he wanted to get drunk with other members and let's go, you know.
Yeah,
and let me tell you something. I think it started around what, 6 p.m. It started at 6 p.m.
Yeah,
I logged back in at like 11:30, and it was still happening,
dude. Bro, that's how we do it. Gully Squad, bro.
Gully Squad. It ain't called Softy Squad, my guy.
Okay.
Also, how did you know my nickname in high school?
Yeah, that's the Mr. Softy truck subscriber service.
Actually, I got it after prom. It was first time drinking whiskey. It was a lot.
Yeah, you know what? I hate that it stuck. I'll be honest. Yeah. No, but if you wanna, yes, the Gully Squad happy hour was unbelievable. And we had a special guest join us, Ali Krieger or the Orlando Pride and the U.S. Women's National Team, two-time World Cup champion, just hopping in Zoom calls with us.
Christian, how many other podcast fan group Zoom happy hours do you think two-time World Cup winners be hopping into, or someone on the cover of People magazine?
I can't look. I'm rifling through all my paperwork. You hear, right?
Okay.
I'm trying to get through it. I honestly cannot find anything. I have the records.
I'm trying to add it up right now, and you can hear my calculator with the paper. You can hear it going. Ding. There it is. And look, it says zero. The number is zero. So you can stop rifling through all your paperwork with your what are the printer with the that all the paper was like court,
the
like
dot attached? Matrix. Yes. Dot matrix.
Yes, your dot matrix paper. You can stop looking at it, dude.
No, but I can't let it go. You know?
No, keep it. For sure, keep it, because you need the records for 7 years for tax reasons. What I'm saying is you can stop rifling through it with this.
Oh, okay. We'll get through this break then. Yeah. Look, that those are some of the things that are possible if you join Gully Squad. There's a lot of fun. Not only is just cool content, but fun surprises like that. And we are actively trying to, you know, make it more than just a, you know, just sending you an extra 20 minutes of a podcast a week or a month or whatever. We're trying to like offer Gully Squad members a genuinely fun experience, similarly to what we get to have. You know, we're trying to put out something really, really fun and cool. And it's
all the stuff we would have wanted when we were just soccer fans and didn't have a podcast or a TV show.
Totally.
This is what I would have loved to have been hanging out on some, you know, conference call or something like that. You know, and all of a sudden, a two-time World Cup winner just hops on from, you know, her backyard, just hanging out.
Sure, you know, it would have been nice if Ronaldinho would have called from prison.
From prison, yeah. Dude. Imagine we were his only phone call. Yo, how lit is that, dude? He's like, I ain't even trying to get out, dog. I just want to say what was good. I just made this phone call to say what's good.
I don't need to talk to no lawyers. Get the Gully Squad on the phone.
Ew, dog. What are my lawyers going to do? I did this shit. You know?
All right, so please join Gully Squad. Go to soccercooligans.com and hit the Join Gully Squad button. I promise you, it is as fun as these breaks. We have a good time with it, and you'll have unique experiences and really cool things, and you'll help the show grow. So please do that. Soccercooligans.com and click on Join Gully Squad. All right, welcome back. We are still here with Matt Turner of the New England Revolution. So, Matt, please continue. You were talking about the Westchester Flames, the mighty Westchester Flames.
Mighty Westchester. The mistaken Westchester Flames.
Yeah, so they're... yeah, they cut me and then turn around, try out for Ironbound Express. They're like, maybe. You know, I don't have a resume. I didn't play any college games. So they're like, maybe. Try out for NJ Lusso Parma or something like that. Cut. You know, just like not hearing back from teams, starting to get like really discouraged. Go back to Jersey Express for like another sort of like second round tryout, and then a third. And every time it's like $50.
Yeah.
$50. I'm like, this is just it's like, yeah. I picked up a job. I was working for Fun Services. I was, you know, the big blow up bouncy houses and blow up slides and like all that stuff. I was going to schools like fun days and like setting those things up and like manning them, making sure the kids were following directions and like breaking them down. Those things are heavy, lifting them, going there. And so eventually at the end of all the tryouts, they're like, okay, yeah, we'll sign you. But you're just going to really be a practice player. I'm like, that's fine. I just want to play soccer throughout the summer. I have another job. I like to like have some beer, so it'll be a perfect balance. And so the first game we have is there's a couple games, but there's an Open Cup game. And the guy is like our starting goalkeeper. Around NJIT, there's a one-lane track. And he's running on the one-lane track. I guess he gets like distracted or something, and he steps off the side, twisted ankle, out for the summer. So I'm like from number three.
this guy's screaming on the ground. So you call that funhouse company? Like, I'm done.
This is what's sick. I worked for them all summer.
Still?
I worked for them all summer still because the Express weren't paying me. I needed some money. I was like, all right, I was waking up at like 5 a.m., working this job, get back at 4, sleep until 6, go eat dinner, go to practice at whatever, 7:30. To come back, wake up, do it all again. That was a tough summer, but it was worth it. Taught me what I definitely don't want to do, which is work in that in fun service. Anyways, yeah. So so I'm number two, and then in the Open Cup game, there's the starting goalkeeper for Rutgers was our goalkeeper, and he dives for a penalty, and the turf is so. like crappy at NDIT. Boom. So now I'm just like
Matt is just crossing names off like Kill Bill.
The worst thing you could do to Matt is get in front of him. My guy. Jesus. Yeah, the starting goalkeeper for the New England Revolution comes out. It's like, yo, my house burnt down. What happened? And Matt's like, oh, weird. Weird how that
maybe
happened.
You should take care of that. It's kind of a priority, right?
Jesus. What do you got? A couple voodoo dolls?
No, man. Well, I'm glad it worked out.
That's fine. I always say that. Yeah.
You're friends with Carol Baskin? Like, how are these people disappearing?
Oh my god.
I can't even say. I always say like my career has always been like this perfect storm of like
for you, not for everyone else. There's a sea of people with injuries
selfishly. So I come into this number one role and then we end up having like an amazing summer. Bill Gaudet, the former Red Bull goalkeeper, was my goalkeeper coach. And he sort of started seeing things in me and that I never really saw myself, because I've never had a goalkeeper coach that had tons of playing experience. My goalkeeper coach at college is an amazing goalkeeper coach, amazing at developing youth talent. But like his biggest fault is that he never like played at a super high level. So it's hard for him to like see that and nurture it. And he's learning, you know, he's still a young goalkeeper coach, but having Bill there who played in the league, I'd never been there with somebody who like played in MLS, and for him to say some of the things he said to me and point out things that I did really well just gave me so much confidence. And so we turn around and we have an amazing summer. In that 2014 summer, we go all the way to national semifinals. It was just like a really good experience. I'd never experienced that much success in soccer, like winning on the field. I'm playing really well. And since we made it so far, it was pretty much just like a week overlap until I was back in preseason with Fairfield. And I showed up to preseason. I was fit. I was sharp as ever. And I took the number one spot and, you know, set a national record for 0-0 ties.
Amazing. Wow. Yeah.
We were the most
I was going to just ask you, and you already answered it, but I was going to say, like, there must have been someone throughout this course where that really pushed you to kind of just believe in yourself. And I'm just happy to, you know, kind of hear that story.
Yeah, it was the woman with the cauldron that he knows. That's just that really inspired him.
It's Davey's
witchcraft. It's a small store, right off Park Ave. Right off Park. Davey's divorce lawyer.
That's gonna have a Park Ridge neck tattoo real soon. Yeah, it's gonna be great.
You Puerto Rican? No, that's Park Ridge. Park Ridge, my guy.
You know, we'll get to it. We'll talk more about it a little bit more after the next break, but I did want to ask about you speaking of goalkeepers with a lot of experience that coach do you one of your Brad Friedel was also one of your coaches, and obviously just an esteemed goalkeeper, but you know it's very public, and he had a lot of, you know, either disagreements or issues with his coaching style. I'm not here to ask you to trash your ex coach or anything.
Keep in mind
that
the first conversation I ever had with Brad Friedel, he fat shamed me, so feel free to say whatever you want.
he did it jokingly though.
Like, we were all joking around. But I was like, you're really going to make these players practice twice a day? And he looked at me, he's like, you look like you could use a couple. I was like, all right.
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
He keeps it real. I like him. What was as far as having such an incredible goalkeeper as your head coach, what was that like for your time with him at the Revs?
Yeah, so this is going to sound like super lame, but I sort of remember people reaching out to me being like, oh, it's so cool. Like, this is an amazing goalkeeper. and me sort of being like, well, I didn't really like get into soccer until 2000.
Yeah, you didn't know who he was.
Like, he was just this, like,
he was just some guy.
Goalkeeper at the time, who was like pretty good, you know, but I didn't know everything about him. So, but I mean, he had some career. The guy was just an unbelievable player, so knowledgeable. Just like things just didn't quite work out. We didn't get it done on the field for whatever reason it was. But having him as a goalkeeper, or not a goalkeeper coach, but having a goalkeeper like him as a head coach, one, I'm so grateful for it because he looked at me in the light of what I was doing on the field, which for my first 2 years, I felt like I trained really well with the Revs. Like at some level, I was like, man, like, I really feel like maybe I could be on the bench or maybe I could get closer to getting a sniff. Like, we're not doing that well. But I knew that I had to bide my time. And that's why when I went to Richmond, I went with an open mind, knowing that this is just something that I have to do. It's part of the process. It's part of climbing the ladder. So many goalkeepers in America have to go through this process. And it's important for me to play games if I want to develop. So I knew that, like, if I wasn't going to play for the first team, I'd rather go on loan and sit on the bench, even if that was like the real pecking order. Anyways, like I said, I'm super grateful for him coming in because I was undrafted, you know, so the former staff, you know, they see me as this undrafted kid, really raw, hasn't played for any big games, doesn't have any experience. And Friedel comes in, he's like, this kid can play. He can make saves, and that's enough for me. And so he had no agenda. He came in and he wasn't afraid to take a risk and give me a chance. And then also in saying that, he can find fault in a goalkeeper's play more so than other coaches could. So he can like equate, because he was so amazing and the game was so easy for him. You know, I was still learning. It was my first year as a full-time starter. And so I don't know, like, it was kind of a double-edged sword in that I could rely on him for advice. And, you know, we've chatted even still recently.
But he would bring down the hammer when
I mean, he wasn't afraid to shake things up. We had three good goalkeepers in New England. And if you weren't getting the job done, next man up. It was like a rotation. It was like, if you were like the top guy, you would just like go down back to number three and just like cycle through. But, you know, for me, I've been in all the positions now. So it's like, okay, I know what it takes. Like and this is another thing I always say to kids, like, whatever your task is, whatever somebody gives you to do, you need to just like do it. And you can't think about what else. And that's why when I was the number three, my job was to train really hard, push the other two to get better, and myself also get better, but be more of a support person. And then as the number two, it's a little more like tricky because you're pushing the play, but you need to be patient, but you also you need to be supportive.
Yeah.
As a goalkeeper, you need to be supportive to your other goalkeeper, and you're part of their warm-up. So you're like helping them get ready for games and getting the feelings of games. And so
number one is sunglasses all the time. Pick up my bags.
Yeah, number three.
You had talked a little bit about sort of Brad Friedel giving you the opportunity to become number one and what the rotation was like. And eventually you get a call up to the national team. And that's absolutely insane, right? From where you started, 16 years old, deciding, oh, what's this cute little game? These people kicking the ball around that people have been trying so hard since they were kids. And I'm just going to decide to walk in with my flappers on my legs and just take over. So then you get a chance to be at the men's national team. Was it hard to turn down the men's national team because you had to go back to work for that fun house company?
Fun, sir.
Yeah. It was off-season after all. I needed to make a little extra cash. It's funny, like, I kind of tell you the story of my first call. I haven't told this to anybody, but I'm compelled. You guys would really like this story. So I live in the neighborhood of Westridge, so like one of the elementary schools in Park Ridge, and my mom works at the school, and so she's worked there for years. So every year on Halloween, kids just flood our house because they know, oh, that's where Mrs. Turner lives, you know, tons of candy. So the last 4 years were usually done by Halloween. So because we just haven't made it that far yet. Anyways, so my mom and I every year were like, okay, let's make this a little boozier then. Have a couple of drinks. We give out some candy to, you know, the trick-or-treaters. And it's like a really nice time. You know, I have a niece that lives in town. She's almost three. And so she comes
she
over.
She gets drunk. It's really crazy. Yeah. So this
year she's like, the margaritas are a little weak this year, Grandma Turner. I'm not going to lie. Who ate all my Snickers? Don't make me punch somebody right in the face. I don't know if that's what your niece is like.
So I hit up Target earlier, like maybe the day before, because I have like nothing on my radar. It's almost in my mind. I'm thinking like, okay, Jan Camp. And I don't even like realize that there's an international window coming up. And so I go to Target. I get myself a Cookie Monster onesie. And I go, you know,
yeah, of course.
I'm ready to go. I'm ready for Halloween. And so it was like a little small on me too, like mind you. It's like a little tight. And but it's all I had left. So I'm sitting in my Cookie Monster onesie. I'm playing some Fortnite, waiting for my mom to get home from work. She gets home. She's hanging out. And all of a sudden, I get like this phone call from a random number. I never answer random numbers.
Of course.
Double click the whole button.
It's a scam. Yeah.
Back to gaming. Then another thing pops up. It's like text message. And it's from Greg. And it says, hey, Matt, this is Greg.
Yeah.
Greg Berhalter. Call me when you get a chance. I'm like,
Yeah.
What is going on?
It's a prank. Like, it's trick or treat. So, it's a trick.
Yeah. It's your niece in the other room fucking with you. She's exactly, like, let's do Greg. Let's say Greg Berhalter.
So anyways, I go into the next room. I call him and he tells me that, you know, he wants to bring me to the pre-camp. And that's pretty much what it was. It was going to be a week. And that was just that feeling and living that day, and was something super special for me and my family to be able to be there with my mom and dad.
In your Cookie Monster onesie.
Yeah. You know, thank God he didn't FaceTime you, because he would have been like, you know what? Forget it.
I know.
Nah.
Yeah. I'm good. Yeah.
I think we're good.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong number. Exactly.
Matt Turner of the New England Revolution. After having spoken to you this long, you're great. You're a funny dude. Hilarious. Really chill. It really makes me think. I'm like, is this dude really a goalkeeper? Because goalkeepers have just psychologically a little bit different.
They're broken individuals.
You seem a little too humble to be such a good goalkeeper. How is this? How did this happen?
That's a weird one. I actually get that a lot. People are like, are you sure this is the right job for you? I don't know. I've never been the type of person to take myself too seriously. I think that's like a really important part of who I am. And it helps me as a goalkeeper because I've goofed up as a goalkeeper. Like what happened to me last year when I, you know, car crash.
Right.
Wayne Rooney. And, you know, like people, you know, come at you, you know, and it's just like, come on, you know, it's kind of hilarious if you think about it. Like, if you're going to do it, you might as well do it kind of big. But I don't know. That's what it is for me. I don't know. It's just, I think it's partly my background, like having tons of friends, like not really being in the game that much in soccer that much. Like my friends played football and hockey and they're still my best friends to this day. So they hold me accountable and keep me grounded.
I'm also curious about your Bruce Arena is your head coach now. Since he got there, the New England Revolution are feeling like a rejuvenated club, and obviously Gustavo Bo, Carlos Hill, like the team is just having a lot more fun comparatively to the past. What was that first injection of excitement, and what did Bruce Arena bring that was like, oh, things are clearly different now?
Yeah, I think the beginning of that was just Mike Lapper like taking over as interim and just kind of like steadying the ship, simplified the way we were going to play. It was like we're kicking every ball long. And we're going to press teams and that's it. We're not going to play out of the back and press teams back and blah, 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 blah. We're going to, and if they break their press, we sit.
Yeah.
You know, he just simplified it for us, and it made it like, it gave us a very clear message of how we're going to approach games, and we just started like cranking out wins. And when Bruce comes in and he sits us down and he says, hey, I'm not perfect. I don't pretend to be. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to mess up. You guys are also going to, but we're in this together. And I've won in this league. I know what it takes to win in this league. And
yeah, yeah.
Let's like go on this journey together, you know? And guys, just a little refreshed.
It just felt like he brought a little bit of that, you know, he spent so much time in LA. He brought that LA Zen, you know.
He's also got that Brooklyn background.
Yeah.
So he's like, hey, we're all going to chill. But if you step me, okay, I will break your neck in front of your family. Yeah. You know, him and your niece.
Yeah. I don't know who. But my dad's actually born in Brooklyn, born and raised.
You get it.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. It's funny. I could see it kind of like in Bruce. I mean, it's funny, you know. So we have a good relationship. And I think the biggest thing is players feel like they can be completely open and honest with him. And things are a two-way conversation when the conversations are happening about tactics or.
All right. Thank you for tuning in, everybody. Thank you again, Matt Turner, for joining us. And just a quick reminder, this coming Tuesday, we will have Ali Krieger and Ashlyn Harris on the show. So make sure you tune into that.
We're becoming a goalkeeper only show, apparently. That's what we do.
So,
yeah.
Matt, is there any, maybe you want to plug your social media? Is there anything you want to let people know where they can see you?
Yeah, no, just, you know, follow me, Twitter, Instagram, same handle, Head Turner, Head to Turner, or 2 D's, 2 R's, and don't get it twisted. But no, guys, thanks for having me on, and look forward
to doubt. All right. Park Ridge. So make sure you follow at Fubo Sports, at Soccer Cooligans. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Leave a 5-star review. Make sure you do that as well. So with that said, for Matt Turner, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros, and together, what are we? The Cooligans!
The Cooligans!